I knew I was being threatened. Do you think it's worth holding out? I mean, I heard some pretty ugly things about those guys. Ugly stories.
Watch them flee. Watch them flee.
The arsonist had oddly shaped feet.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Multiple Podcast.
The Human Torch.
We have checked ourselves into the SmackDown Hotel for the first time in a long time. We didn't do the last week, not because it was a good or a bad show. We just got caught up in setting some other things up. Not much happened, and if anything really happened of consequence, then it will get brought up today.
Right now.
The Royal Melibration happened last week, and Asuka got announced as Carmella's opponent for Money in the Bank. Cool. The Bludgeon Brothers are still really stupid and annoying, and I hope the club beats them. They're really good, but I hate the mallets. Yeah, Becky Lynch qualified for Money in the Bank.
Are we just going to go through the notes at any pace and put out a 5-minute episode?
No, I'm talking about last week.
Oh, last week.
Try paying attention when we're doing this thing here.
I'm trying, but I'm so poor.
Oh, good God. Good God. Anyway.
What's going on, all you pokies and gumbies out there? Let's talk SmackDown.
We're talking SmackDown, and we're doing it live. It's SmackDown Live. From Worcester, Massachusetts, dude.
Worcester.
Worcester?
Worcester.
Dorchester?
Worcester.
Worcester?
Worcester.
Worcestershire? From Massachusetts, on the 22nd of May, year of our Lord, 2018. Miz TV with the New Day to start out the episode.
Best opening segment
No, I mean, I'm not going to say it's not the best opening segment, but I mean, this was the beginning of, spoilers, pretty great episode of SmackDown.
Oh, yeah, this pretty episode great was episode fucking of SmackDown. Tight, dude.
And you know what? It was tight, but it also felt loose enough to where they were giving some of the people a little bit of, freedom.
Yeah.
So Miz essentially just brings out the New Day after he promotes Miz and Mrs. on USA.
I'm interested.
I'm going to watch it. I think it's like 6 parts or something, or 6 episodes the first season. They're probably going to get picked up for another one.
Oh, yeah.
Mike
Mizanin is too charming not to get a full series.
No, in that trailer, he's fucking hysterical. It looks pretty great. Also, Johnny Mundo in that promo, if I'm not mistaken.
Johnny Impact, Johnny Blackcraft,
Johnny Nitro,
Johnny Feds,
Johnny, Rocket Ship Johnny. Johnny Rockets. Johnny Rocket Raccoon. Anyway. So Miz brings out the New Day to essentially ask them, like, which one of them, now that that team beat the New Day, beat the Bar last week to qualify for Money in the Bank, one of them has to be selected.
Yeah.
They're being coy, and they do the, it's gonna be me.
The best.
And
we do not deserve the New Day.
No, we don't. We don't. Through the entire portion of the show that they were on, they were fucking stellar.
On
absolutely
fuego.
Amazing.
On fuego.
New Day puts over Hokage Miz.
Yes, finally somebody finally fucking
somebody
said it.
Finally somebody said it. Finally somebody said it. He's looked like fucking Naruto for fucking, like, since WrestleMania. I think he came out first with that at WrestleMania.
I thought it was just going to be a special WrestleMania thing, but here the fuck I am with a foot up my mouth. Ass? Mouth?
Whatever. Miz tries to put the wedge between the New Day. The only wedge. He's a heel. He's got to get right in.
Ooh,
the,
don't touch me.
Right
Ooh,
in.
Don't
the,
touch me.
Right in the little, right in the crevasse.
Oh God. Juices came out of places.
Whoa, God. Oh, whoa. God.
Oh,
God.
Why is it sticky?
You're the worst, dude. In an audio medium, no one can see how like not gay that was. Anyway, Miz tries to put a wedge between the New Day by essentially pointing out like that Kofi's been around for a long time. He's won the tag, the U.S., and I think Intercontinental title. But he's never won the WWE title. Puts over that Big E, that he's got all the talent in the world, but he hasn't done anything with it yet. And Xavier Woods, that he's got a YouTube empire.
Yep.
And he, how great would it be if you were streaming, what did he say, Fortline?
Fortline.
And then the whole crowd was like, ah, no, no, no. And then Xavier.
Fortnite.
Dude, it's Fortnite. It's just great that he flubbed that.
That's it's really so funny. Good.
I don't play that video game.
And then later, Corey Graves makes a response to the second best place in that game. Mm-hmm. Tilted Towers.
Tilted, yeah.
Because everybody knows it's all about Loot Lake.
Oh, yeah, Loot Lake all day. I'm pretty partial to Retail Row. Oh. Or no, Greasy Grove. Greasy Grove is...
Ooh, Greasy Grova is...
So, you know, of course, Xavier points that out, and he says, well, how great would it be if you were playing that game with a WWE title on your shoulder as you were playing it? You'd be a literal superhero.
Man has a point.
And then he says he could beat any member of the New Day on any day of the week. So the New Day get in there, and they start grumble, 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 grumble. And they turn and they say, it's going to be E. It's going to be Big E. And which leads Miz to incorrectly think that he's gonna fight, that he's gonna be in Money in the Bank, and he, I'm assuming, you know, Miz thought he, you know, got one over on them, and you know, what they essentially were doing was picking Big E to fight the Miz tonight.
Right meow.
Right meow.
Right here.
Miz says if he doesn't get what he wants, the answers that he wants, then the New Day doesn't get what they want, so they shame him
with pancakes,
throwing pancakes,
by throwing pancakes at him, just going. Shame. Shame.
The people have spoken. Shame. Shame. The best one was Xavier Woods right off the bridge of the nose.
Oh, yeah. Perfect. Beautiful. Right, fastball right down the middle.
And they throw like, just pancakes at him as he's leaving.
Yep.
So then the Miz runs into Paige as he's going through Gorilla. And after this, like, really awkward long pause, as if they had pre-taped this and Paige was expecting to get, like, a pop when she appeared on screen.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I guess it wasn't pre-taped, though, because Miz was, like, pointing and, like, going,
Yeah.
And she just wasn't talking. She wasn't even emoting. She was just sort of staring at him.
Yeah.
Paige, hashtag Paige.
She was kind of giving the, like,
hashtag Paige for worst GM.
Guess what?
But after a little while, though, like, it didn't seem very natural.
The Miz was doing all the acting in that promo.
Oh, absolutely.
And
absolutely.
God bless Mike Mizanin.
And so he runs into Paige, and she sends him back out there to wrestle Big E. So then our first match of the night is Big E Langston. Yes, Big E Langston, former NXT World Champion, with Kofi and Xavier Woods versus The Miz. Xavier Woods starts out the match on commentary. The New Day acting is Big E's corner man, though.
Yeah.
I mean, the match is really good. Don't get me wrong. Most of the stuff I have written down for this match is just like the little, like, the bits and stuff that Xavier and Kofi were doing.
Oh, yeah.
But... The match was great. Miz, I think, is like not being talked about as much as like Seth Rollins is.
Yeah.
Because Seth Rollins is doing all this like more flashy stuff, but Miz has been in there for 12 years, give or take 12 years, and he's never been injured.
Nope.
He's never done an injury storyline.
No.
Nope. He's never injured anybody else.
No.
He's a safe fucking worker, and he's on the run of his life, just like Seth Rollins is right now.
Absolutely.
And he's in there with Big E, who's a great worker in his own right, who's charismatic, just as charismatic on the babyface side as Miz is on the heel side.
Yeah.
And they go in there and they have a really fun match. But the thing that stands out to me and proves to me that we as a species do not deserve the New Day in our lives is midway through commentating the match, Big E knocks down, or like a third of the way through the match, Big E knocks down The Miz. And on commentary, Xavier Woods says, oh, wait, I'm sorry, that's the end of the round. That's the end of the round. Throws his headset off, putting on gloves, and they treat Big E like he's Rocky fucking Balboa.
Yeah, it was great.
And they pour maple syrup down his throat, and he swishes with it and spits it into the thing.
It was great.
And they put Vaseline under his eyes for no reason.
It was great. Jim, before we get going, do you see that right there? Do you see that?
What is that?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for our Return of the Week. Return of the Week. Yes, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. Your eyes did not deceive you. The New Day did, in fact, have a bag full of Bootios with them this week.
Oh, yes.
Let's give a hearty welcome back to the Bootios, y'all.
The bag fell on the kid that they were pouring it on.
Oh, yeah, it was fucking hysterical.
It was great. It was great.
So that's our return of the week.
We don't appreciate... We can't appreciate the New Day enough.
No.
I feel like they could keep those guys together.
Forever.
And let them do their individual stuff.
Yeah.
Like, even if they split up on different shows, they're still the New Day.
Absolutely.
They're still the New Day. So then the bar, towards the end of the match, they come out to attack the New Day. Kofi, like, steps off the ring, steps off of Cesaro's shoulder and splashes Sheamus.
My God.
I watched it for the first time by myself at, like, 7:30 in the morning. I yelped. I was like, whoo! Whoo! See, he didn't do much at, like, Greatest Royal Rumble. Like, he didn't have his, like, little handstand gimmick.
Yeah.
So, like, I feel like this was like, here you go, guys.
Here's your moment.
And, you know, he's in Massachusetts, so he had to do something big.
Oh, yeah.
Kofi is from Boston originally, so.
No, he's not. He's from Ghana. He's from Ghana, West Africa.
Ladies and gentlemen, we won't be hearing from Scott for the next 4 or 5 minutes. He's now placed in timeout. We're going to move on to... The Miz takes advantage of the distraction and hits a skull-crushing finale on Big E for the win. So technically, he was right by saying that he could beat any member of the New Day at any given day of the week. You have a couple more minutes. Recap of Big Cass getting injured last week, which leads into a Daniel Bryan promo. He says that he's going to tap out a legend tonight in Jeff Hardy. And, you know, Daniel Bryan, it's this thing, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know. I'm going to talk to you guys directly. I don't know if you feel the same way that I feel, that it's just such a gift that he is back and that he's doing... Like, he's doing his thing again, and Jesus Christ. Fine. If you're going to be this annoying about it, you can come back.
Praise Jesus, it's dark out there.
Well, you know, if you don't get punished for it, you're never going to learn your lesson. So, the Daniel Bryan promo is good all around, right?
Yeah. Yeah, except for the fact that he botched what he was doing tonight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's, I think, what was it? Charlie is interviewing him.
Yeah.
And she, like, legit says, like, if you win this match, you get to go up against Samoa Joe or something. And then his response is, yeah, if I win this match, I get to be in Money in the Bank. And it's like, no, Daniel.
You get to wrestle somebody to be in Money in
the Bank. No. You got to go do that impact testing before and after every match? Because that's terrible. It is a gift that he's back. And we should appreciate it. We move on to Lana versus Billie Kay. Honestly, this match goes like 30 seconds, but all I really have to say about it is Aiden English is magic.
Aiden English is a national treasure.
The fact that he can get a Lana Day chant started proves that they should not break these guys up.
Never.
Never. He's just... When people hear that...
Yeah, the
people
throat clear.
People lose their minds for him. And he fucking deserves it. This is really good for him. This is really fun. This is, like, entertaining as hell. The Rusev Day thing... Because there's a rumor going around. I don't know if you've seen this. Is that, like, Rusev is going to turn on Aiden. And
no.
Then... Yeah, apparently, like, the plan, in quotations, is Rusev is going to turn on Aiden. And then Lana is going to go back to managing Rusev and turn him back into the Bulgarian Brute. Like, the whole Happy Rusev Day thing is over. Essentially, at that point,
no, that's
which means get your fucking Happy Rusev Day t-shirts and merch now, ladies and gentlemen, because we may be towards the end of this thing.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh, no.
If I don't get a Happy Rusev Day shirt before they run out, I think I might kill myself.
Oh, no.
I don't know. So, I mean, do you have anything to say about the match? I mean, Lana's dance when she came out made me cringe.
Christ awful.
The Iconics come out and do a duet and proceed to break all the glass in the arena.
Excuse me, it's the Iconics, thank you?
I'm sorry, yeah, phonetically it's the Econics.
Okay.
I think.
I'll give you that one.
Two eyes next to each other.
Yeah. You know? It even hits the throat.
Their duet, like, it's great. Like, I hate them. I find them really, like, irritating. And I know I'm supposed to, but, like, not in an enjoyable way. Like, I find Miz irritating.
Yeah.
but like they as they're like warming up, they're getting like such like crazy boos from it that they put the mics down and they're like, but we're over here trying to, and this is my terrible.
Yeah, no, he's gotta go straying.
And they're like, we're just warming up, and it's like, Jesus Christ, stop. like this crazy bicycle front side kick thing that Lana does to Billy Kay.
Oh yeah, right in the forehead,
and then a sit out facebuster. And Lana goes to Money in the Bank, and then a huge Lana Day chant. It's the first and only time this is going to happen, guaranteed.
No, it'll happen at Money in the Bank.
Mm-mm. You shut your filthy fucking mouth.
Because I'm going to be there giving my power to the people of Chicago by holding a toaster and masturbating furiously, yelling into the toaster, it's Lana Day! Lana Day!
Lana Day?
Lana Day! Until everybody in that arena...
Are you Mr. Kennedy?
No, Lana I'm Mr. Day. Lana Day. Lana Day.
Zelina Vega and Andrade Cien Almas have a promo saying they're here to take over and that they're going to do something. And then it leads right into Andrade Cien Almas versus a local talent. This was... What was his name? Kevin Bennett?
Kevin Bennett, yes. Congratulations, Kevin.
Former ESW champ.
Yep.
As of the 19th. So right before he had this match, he lost his title. And then he got murdered by Andrade Cien Almas.
Murdered.
With elbows and knees. Mur-diddly-erdered.
Kill-diddly-ild.
Kill-diddly-ild. Andrade Cien Almas is a...
murderer.
A local talent mur-diddly-erdler. Carmella
there was that extra syllable in there somewhere, but I don't have the time to find out where it was.
No, that's what he says. I'm a murderer. A mur-diddly-erdler. When he like, trimmed the hedge too much.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, come on.
No, when
act like you watch The Simpsons.
When he killed the plant in season 6, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, the whole like
he buries the plant in the backyard and he hears the scream, but it was actually
and there's like a head of lettuce. Yeah, but they think it's the severed head.
Yeah,
and Bart's got the whole
cast on his leg. Yeah,
it's the
so anyway, next week on Simpsons review show,
the move. What's the movie that it's based off of with fucking
Rear Window?
Rear Window is the name of it?
Yeah, but the name of the episode...
He's coming right up the stairs!
The name of the
episode... I know what I saw!
The name of the episode itself was Bart of Darkness, episode 601.
Oh, very good pull, dude. Good pull. Kudos. Points. Points. We may not need to play an episode of
Jeopardy.
Of Jeopardy. That
ooh,
was a
we
good
should
pull.
Add Simpsons to the list.
I don't know. I'm not great on Simpsons. But I mean, I guess I whooped your ass hard enough on...
Oh,
on,
yeah, that's
for
fair.
Wrestling. But we're going to do... I mean, I guess while we're in the middle of this, we're
doing
we're
like smack in the halfway through, so let's lose our minds and ramble for a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, so like we're gonna do another episode later on today. It may not get posted till tomorrow or at some point in the future because we're gonna cover a little bit of news.
Yep,
and then we're gonna throw into a two, may possibly two out of three if it's just the two of us.
Yeah.
But we may have a special guest. Possibly. We may have a special guest or two, another member of the Moves Crew coming in here. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. Just a little bit of a tease, little tickle on the taint.
I'm trying to
contain
my poop.
For the people out there.
Yeah.
Oh, contain your poops, please.
I'm trying.
I don't need to steam clean the couch again.
I put a hole in this couch for a reason.
Giggity. Carmella promo, as we call it. It's cool. She had the Asuka mask on for some reason. Like, I guess she went to like the merch booth and bought an Asuka mask or something.
Seems like it.
Because like, it's not like she beat down Asuka last week or like tripped her or like stole her mask or anything. She just had a necklace of the mask and she was wearing it. And blah, 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 blah. Mella is money, moonwalking, trash talking, blah, 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 blah. I'm twice as better as blah, blah, blah. I don't give a fuck. Stipulation announcement, AJ Nakamura promo is up next.
The best.
He shows how he won last week against AJ in that stellar fucking match they had last
really
week.
Really good one-on-one.
I guess that's something we can talk about. Last week on SmackDown, I was really looking forward to talk about this match because this is probably out of the four they've had.
This is probably
Mania,
the best one.
Backlash... Greatest Royal Rumble and TV.
One. Yeah.
So this
one's
the
best one.
Out of the four that they've had, definitely. It's like they're climbing up. I've heard this analogy elsewhere, but it's like they're climbing up a ladder to greatness.
Yeah.
I had it written down in my notes that, like, it seems that they finally have found a way to do their thing inside the WWE
ring. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They've been getting better and better. The outcome from that was Nakamura feigning a low blow beautifully.
Oh yeah, it was
as
great.
The referee was
took
distracted.
A real snug elbow to the head. It made a great sound, and that's when he dropped to his knees.
Mm-hmm.
Real good.
And then he hits him with the exploder. Kinshasa, 1-2-3. Nakamura has to pick the stipulation.
And the stipulation pick he did.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
He said it.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you get to say it that way. It's their
word.
No. It's their inability to speak our language.
Oh,
that's
God. But, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on the last episode
of the Moose Crew podcast. Well, I mean, never mind. He says that AJ's house is now his house. He's going to take his title.
Mm-hmm. Knee to face.
So AJ Styles, like, he's the least important guy in his own feud for, like, the third time in a row.
Yeah.
But eventually, like, he's like, essentially, like, baiting this into, excuse me, Nakamura's head. It's like, I want to know the stipulation. I want to know the stipulation. Tell me what the fucking match is.
Yeah.
So Nakamura just brilliantly goes, pillow fight! Which leads into a crowd-wide pillow fight chant. And honestly, if they were to take it, like, if they were to do it real straight, do, like, deathmatch, but just pillows.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he tears open one of the pillows and puts all the feathers down and thumbtack bumps it. And he fucking rolls outside the ring and has somebody, like, stick him in the back. And he comes up bleeding just from feathers. Like, they really dove hard into it. I've had far too much time to think about this.
You have, and it's only been, like, an hour.
Well, no, I mean, I watched it a second time with you.
Well, yeah.
I watched it Wednesday morning, and then...
Okay.
But, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Where were we? I've lost my place here. This is why we're supposed to both be Nakamura. Involved here. Nakamura. Oh, they brawl, essentially. AJ, before they brawl, AJ essentially says, like, that he can't beat him when it counts. Like, an eighth of the crowd goes, oh, shit! Because they're, like, the only people who pay attention to AJ Styles when he talks anymore. I'm sorry, Captain Exposition.
Yes.
So they brawl until Nakamura hits AJ with a chair as he's coming up over the barricade. They brawl out into the crowd, and AJ's coming back over the barricade, like, springboard style. And Nakamura, like, hits him in the side with a chair. And Nakamura starts to count, and AJ gets up at 7. He drops him, like, face, like, knees and face first and
stuff
onto the announce table, and then Kinshasa's the chin off of the body, the soul out of the body to AJ, and he stays down for another count of 10. And Nakamura announces that the match is going to be a last man standing match at Money in the Bank.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, this segment, really, really,
really
fucking
good. Really good.
Heel Nakamura is exactly, like, AJ, it's funny, AJ says it, he's like, this is not the Nakamura we wanted in WWE. I'm sorry, this kind of is the fucking Nakamura. Because what the fuck was he doing before this?
This.
I mean, he won the Royal Rumble, and that was really cool, and we hoped it would become something. And guess what? It actually became something.
Yeah.
He's fucking going out there, and I think he's going to take this title at Money in the Bank.
I hope so.
I mean, once the card is finalized, we'll run it down, and we'll go through all of our predictions, and we're gonna see who's going to get punished for being wrong.
Yeah.
We're gonna do that. We're going to do that the right way. You know, the way that it seems to be on the interwebs these days. Somebody's got to get punished for being wrong.
Oh, yeah.
So, we're going to do that. Last man standing match at Money in the Bank. I realized, listening back to the last episode that we just posted, the Anonymous Raw General podcast that just dropped earlier today. I say a lot. I say a lot. I gotta fix that.
Oh, yeah, you do. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And you sound uninterested.
I'm very rarely interested in most things.
That's very true. Cotton candy?
Ooh.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Okay.
You're like a 4-year-old. You're like a fucking 4-year-old. But you're such a good boy.
Oh yeah, buddy. Oh yeah, buddy.
So the next match up is the Club versus the Usos, number one contenders match, to fight the Bludgeon Brothers at Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
Because I'm so okay. Listen, I'm done with the Bludgeon Brothers. The fake ass looking mallets. The fact that they're just squashing everybody. They killed the fucking Usos. They killed the fucking Usos. Like, the Usos were on top of the fucking tag division for, what, a year? 16 months?
Yeah.
Whatever. Since the Uso Penitentiary thing really kicked off, that they've been, like, cut down and losing to the losing to the Bludgeon Brothers in 5 minutes, 7 minutes at Greatest Royal Rumble, I think
something
it was.
Something like that, yeah.
And then there wasn't even a tag match on Backlash. There wasn't even a tag team title match on Backlash.
There wasn't.
They threw in some random fucking tag match with Braun and Lashley versus KO and Sammy.
Yep.
Instead of just throwing on a tag match with, like, the Bludgeon Brothers versus fucking anybody, or Broken Matt and Bray Wyatt against somebody.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're right.
Just give us some sort of tag match, like Tifa.
Yeah.
Tifa.
Tifa.
All Tifa, the indeed. Pretty much all the other titles that normally get defended were defended.
Yeah.
Both women's titles, the US and the Intercontinental. The WWE title, Brock Lesnar couldn't be fucking asked to fucking leave his ranch and stop fucking Sable for 5 fucking minutes.
Yeah.
To come down and squash somebody. But
you're right.
They could have fucking I don't know. That's just one of the many frustrating things about the current product that I hope they're turning around. I mean, SmackDown's doing great last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Like, it's been a really strong show.
Really good.
Beginning to end. Like, every time they go to start going, like, up next in the main event, I'm like, ooh, main event already? What the fuck?
Yeah.
What the fuck, dude? Like, good on them. You know? In what to me is the major down point of the show, the lowest point of the show for me. Naomi versus Sonya Deville is up next. A second chance for Sonya Deville to qualify for Money in the Bank.
And
first chance for Naomi.
And she still didn't. So Naomi's in Money in the Bank. That match happened. Anyway, moving on.
Well, no. I mean, all right, we're going to talk about this for a second. Because you were talking about it where you liked the trading of the kicks.
I liked the first one.
Yeah, and then they did it three more times.
And then they did it three more times, and I didn't care anymore.
And the match is all of, like, 8 minutes
yeah.
or something. Like, it's not really that long or, like, that important. And they do that weird, like, jumping sidekick thing,
yeah.
to one another, and it's really dumb.
Yeah.
You know? There was a double kick spot that they showed in slow motion after the match where fucking Naomi, like, hits Sonya Deville, like, right in the jaw.
Oh, yeah, that was gnarly.
And can I be the first one to maybe, I haven't heard this anywhere else, but can I be the first one to say that we need to change Sonya Deville's entrance?
Oh, yeah, someone's gonna have a fucking seizure and die.
Somebody's gonna be out there in the arena and fucking seize and die. For sure. There's the
I hate this fucking town, man.
The just in case anybody didn't hear that, randomly interrupted by, you know, city noise. I mean, it's so weird because we're in a steamship floating above New York City. We wouldn't normally hear any of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You're the worst. You're the absolute worst.
You're right. What do you want me to say? I'm agreeing with you, you cuck.
Whoa.
Listen, you are a... Don't now, make me say it.
Kitty's got claws.
Listen, I will say it. I will ruin your whole night.
Go ahead.
You're a third-rate duelist with a fourth-rate deck.
Dude, fucking duel me, bro. Fucking duel me, bro.
Let's go. Move crew Yu-Gi-Oh. Let's make this shit happen.
Live on Twitch. Let's go.
Everybody send us Yu-Gi-Oh cards. All
right, we're falling way too far down a rabbit hole. Jeff Hardy has a promo where apparently he definitely had a popper during Naomi's entrance because he came out fucking real hot.
He did a line of something.
Like as he came
out. He did a line of Percodan.
I can hear the people who can't take a joke on the internet just going like, oh, that's not fair. Jeff Hardy's been clean for like 6 months. You know, I mean, you know, he did get a DUI like fucking 4 months ago, so go fuck yourselves. He came out, obviously, talking about synapses firing. And
oh, yeah. I mean, if anybody's ever read, like, Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, the book that inspired Blade Runner, or any works by that author, that's what it sounded like. Philip K. Dick wrote that promo.
He talked about synapses firing and about ladders or something, which leads into the main event.
Woo!
Jeffrey Dean Hardy.
Before we get into this, we're joined on commentary by Samoa Joe.
I was getting to that.
Not Samoan Joe from that other show that we talk about every week or whenever we feel like it.
Well, no, I mean, I know that Samoa we normally Joe. Get messages to read out from the anonymous podcast that sends us the messages.
Oh, yeah. Not that Samoan Joe,
you gotta,
but...
You gotta kayfabe it, bro.
Samoa Joe. Comes out to commentary to scout his talent, because as he says, he doesn't really get an opportunity to do that all that often.
Yeah, and honestly, Samoa Joe's is great at everything wrestling.
Like, yeah.
He's out there, and he put over both of those. He put over Jeff and Daniel Bryan.
Yep.
Like, really, really
hard
well.
Hard way, yeah.
And he defended his own character, kept his own status elevated when, I think it was Tom Phillips, I might be wrong about that, but one of the people at the announce desk referred to Daniel Bryan as a submission specialist.
Yeah.
And he immediately went, whoa, let's tone down the compliments there for a second.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because once one of these guys gets done, they got to see me next week.
Yep.
And he's just fucking amazing.
Yeah, God bless him.
So we go into Jeff Hardy versus Daniel Bryan. Solid action from two of the best workers from each of their respective generations.
Yes.
Consummate professionals, the both of them. Everything looked crisp. It looked snug. It looked real. You believed every fucking thing that happened in this match, and yeah. I fucking loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Everything was super good.
It's not match of the year or anything.
Oh, no, but for SmackDown, it was one of their... Like, for a SmackDown match that doesn't involve AJ Styles, like, it was a definite early contender for SmackDown
match of
the year.
Or Rusev. Sometimes when they give Rusev some time, his things are pretty special. But having Daniel Bryan back is just...
It's been a boon.
Yeah, it's been so great. What, about 15 minutes they go?
Yeah.
I'm just guessing. I haven't kept track of this in a while.
Yeah.
But eventually, Bryan wins with his new finisher,
the heel hook. Yeah.
He hasn't been in a lot of matches lately to see if maybe he's sticking with the psycho knee or if he's doing the heel hook because, you know, Jeff has
both
that
psycho
existing.
Knee.
Huh?
It's the Busaiko knee.
Oh, I wasn't aware. I thought it was always just the psycho knee.
Busaiko. Busaiko. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I mean, give me some background on that. I want to know.
I have no idea. I just know that's what it's called.
Oh, Busaiko?
Busaiko, because it's a Japanese name.
Oh, Busaiko.
Yeah.
Oh, I always just thought Busaiko it was psycho knee.
No.
Well,
psycho knee is... there actually isn't a psycho knee, so go ahead, patent that. Come up with it. Make it happen.
I can come up with it.
Dude.
What's it called? Because Jeff Hardy's been doing, like, he's been feigning this, like, knee injury for a few weeks.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's, like, storyline or if it's, like, his actual new finisher.
I don't know.
But he does beat Jeff Hardy with a submission, which is the first time that's happened since 2003. And the person who tapped him out last was Kurt Angle.
Yes, indeed.
So... That keeps Daniel Bryan's submission game looking mad strong going against the Samoan submission machine next week for Money in the Bank qualifier, Samoa Joe versus Daniel Bryan. Who do you have and why?
I've got D-Bry.
You got D-Bry?
I feel like it's a good way to give him the title back. Because if you look at everybody in the title picture, like, I can believe Daniel Bryan going over on Batista and Randy Orton and Triple H clean. Can't really imagine Daniel Bryan going over Brock Lesnar. I feel like Brock Lesnar would unhinge his jaw and just eat Daniel Bryan and then poop him out and then sit down on the poop for the three count.
Well, okay. Well, here's what I'm thinking. I'm going to go Samoa Joe.
Okay.
In the qualifier for next week.
All right.
Because on, like, the lower side of the spectrum, Samoa Joe was just in a Fatal 4-Way ladder match and did phenomenally at Greatest Royal Rumble.
That's a fair point.
I think you're going to want to keep Daniel Bryan and The Miz, who The Miz is qualified for Money in the Bank, so he's already in the match.
That's another reason
you
want to
keep them apart.
Nah, I don't think
as
so.
As long as humanly possible. This they want to keep you edging. They want to get you so fucking red hot for this that the moment that... I mean, granted, they did have a couple matches on the last UK tour.
Yep. But that feud has to... That feud, it's been building for a year.
Yeah, yeah, but I think that, like, because people want it so much, you gotta fucking make them, like, really want it now.
Yeah.
Because Miz, even earlier tonight in the opener, he only really did... He didn't do the it kicks.
Yep.
You know? He didn't really do the yes arm pumps until he went to go walk away, and he wiped it off and walked away.
Yeah.
Because, and this is something you said... Motherfucker's scared.
Oh, yeah.
Because now he has a reason to be scared.
Oh, yeah.
So I think, I honestly think that Samoa Joe's going to take it. And I get your point about this, too, because we were talking about this before we went on the air, after we get done watching SmackDown, that I think that you need another bigger guy in there to deal with Braun while you have the 7-on-1 scenario.
Yeah.
But how many times have we watched Braun get teamed up on and then he just stands up and throws everyone away?
Well, yeah, obviously that's going to be a first big spot, but then Braun's going to pick his victim, take them outside the ring, and then more action's going to happen in the ring. Braun's going to maul people outside the ring for that entire match.
Yeah, but don't you think that, like, I honestly think that seeing Samoa Joe versus Braun Strowman, considering that they're on two separate brands, this could be a really good tease for maybe next year.
Oh, yeah.
Year after.
Yeah.
Or maybe a Survivor Series, you know, with the two of them as well. Like, I think that could be a big program.
Absolutely.
And that's two things in the last how many weeks? 3 weeks or so? 2-3 weeks? Where I want to see Braun Strowman in, like, what I consider two dream matches. You got Braun Strowman versus Drew McIntyre. Braun Strowman versus Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
I think with Samoa Joe, they have to fucking, like, start letting him fucking win every once in a while.
Yeah, absolutely.
Start letting him back up what he says in his promos, because his promos are great, but then he goes out there and he gets fucking destroyed.
Yep.
Well, I mean, maybe not even destroyed, but he gets beaten. He loses.
Absolutely. You know? I don't know.
Like I said, rest of the crew out there, rest of the probies, rest of the fucking...
Say it.
The rest of you motherfuckers out there, you let us know who you got, and me and Scott, we're gonna work on some sort of wager.
Yeah.
For next Tuesday.
Yeah.
Or Wednesday morning, whatever. We'll work on some sort of wager. I've got Samoa Joe. You've got D-Bry.
I've got D-Bry.
And what's cool is somebody put up I saw a picture of the two side by side where it was like, I think it was 2006 or 2007, Daniel Bryan and Samoa Joe standing off, and then the face to face that they had on SmackDown from this week.
Yeah.
Which I thought was excellent. Very good. I cannot wait for this match. It almost seems like Daniel Bryan has like a list of people.
Yeah, and Samoa Joe was definitely close to the top.
Yeah, and he was like, oh, well, I haven't wrestled this guy. Also, I want this.
Yeah.
So they're mixing and matching and doing fucking everything that they can. Because it's another situation where we don't know how long Ronda Rousey's going to be doing this, so we want those matches out of the way.
Yep.
Also, we don't know how much longer Daniel Bryan's going to be around. He's got a baby at home. We don't know when... he's very happy now. I'm very happy to see him back.
Yeah.
But... And it still feels like a treat. It still feels like a gift that we've been giving. I know I keep going off and off and off about this, but I'm so happy Daniel Bryan is back.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
And it's been going really great.
Yeah.
It's been going really great. He did 76 minutes in the Greatest Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
He beat Cass in 8 minutes. He's got a new finisher. His new style is really solid.
I'm very excited to see what the future holds for Daniel Bryan.
Amen. And just before they went off the air, Charlie Caruso, I think it was, she catches up with Samoa Joe just coming through the curtain at Gorilla, and he says, oh, is Daniel Bryan going to tap next week? Or am I going to put Daniel Bryan to sleep next week? Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And then it fades away on that sound and Daniel Bryan, you know, just playing to the crowd. This was excellent.
Very good. I give it a 4.
Excellent. Daniel Bryan And Samoa Joe in the ring is going to be amazing. Samoa Joe on the fucking mic is glorious. Yep. Like, even if I'm wrong next week and Daniel Bryan goes through, or if you're wrong and Samoa Joe, we're both going to come out as winners.
Oh, yeah.
The entire WWE universe is going to come out as a winner.
Absolutely.
I think, for sure. But that brings us to the end. We're actually, you know, the room service is coming in to clean the room, so that means it's forced checkout time at the SmackDown Hotel. And we only have time for one more thing. You know what it is. I know what it is. I've been Mr. Riot, if you're nasty. Zero is a zero because Counter-Strike was a thing. I've been joined by...
My name is Scott Cerriti. That's at SC Cerriti. You can find us together, jointly, at MCPod23 on the Twitters and the Grams.
And the Grams. You know it. Ooh. Remind me before we play Jeopardy a little later on. We're going to catch up with Scott and all of his indie antics the next episode. We're going to play a couple rounds, maybe, of some Jeopardy boards. Probably various Jeopardy boards. So join us next time here on the Moves Crew podcast. We're not going to be interrupted by the Anonymous Rail General podcast and having to read something out by those fucking guys.
Yeah, right.
We're not going to be checked in the SmackDown Hotel. We're going to be joining you on the front lines, guerrilla style, Moves Crew podcast. I'm Jim. That's Scott. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Moves Crew podcast.
Subs up. A-Town down.
Remember, Sean makes a great barbecue.
Oh.
Papa needs a new set of drinks. We're moving in to episode 3.
It's a new day. Yes, it is.